Today, we'd like to thank a couple of our sponsors, one being Huber, the family of products that we get there, Travis. One of the ones that we've had here that we just, since we're shooting at the shop, and it's been very close, and you guys hear Steve Basic talk about the piece of zip that's out on the wood pile and been there for however many years, right? I actually have this piece. So we get, what, 180 days is the manufacturer's specifications to be out, whether, out, you know, before we need to clad it or get her covered up, right? Right. This piece has been out approximately, from the math we just did, 2,848 days. So this panel has been outside. You can see, still pretty good shape, still one piece. That's been out behind my shop, sunny side up, for 8 years. So as we were just talking about, how about the products that are outperforming what they say you should do, and how that leads to a great product from us as builders and a reliability standpoint for our clients. And we're completing so many things at one time with one product and one family of products. Good job, Huber. Good on you guys. We've been using them a long time. Going to continue to use them. Anything to add to that?
No, man, you said it best. They outperform expectations on everything we use them on. So that's why we keep using them and being able to rely on the durability of a product to far exceed what they suggest.
Yep.
That's pretty encouraging.
Cool.
Welcome back to the Building Consensus Podcast. I'm Travis Brungart. Who are you?
Brandon Jones.
I like that you checked your notes. That's
Brandon
nice.
Jones, I am. I'm a construction manager for Aero Building. If, in case you're just tuning in for the first time, go back and watch the other 50-something episodes, please. And we are here in Kansas City, right?
That's true.
Enjoying a Saturday, getting some recording done. And today is, well, I guess it's the same day for us, but part two of the, well, we don't want to call it the Catalyst. We're going to call it the Travis Trilogy of things to talk about. That too.
Do you know who Hieronymus Bosch is?
He makes HVAC equipment.
All right. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I am a stupid dork about a lot of things. And one of the things that I really enjoy is classical painting in a triptych form. So three panels, two fold in on the other. So I proposed in the previous episode a triptych. The first panel included the seven habits of a new hire that will make you very successful in your trades career. The second panel, and this is actually a lesser panel, so this is kind of an inverted triptych. Usually the middle panel is the big panel. This actually, I think, will be the smallest of the three, because the third panel of the triptych includes how you get fired. Like, what are the seven habits that can get you out the door? And I don't know what those seven would be. We'll get to that in a future episode. It'll actually be the next one. This episode, this is the middle. And I wanted to call this one Welcome to the Party, Pal, because let's assume that you adopted those seven habits in the previous episode. Yep. And you have found your way to add value to the construction team. And now I want to ask you, Brandon, when you bring on a new hire, let's talk about tools. When you bring on a new hire, what do you expect that new hire to provide of their own? And we can talk physical tools, like tangible hand tools, power tools. We can talk about those things first, because I think that's the easiest thing to process. What do you expect your new hires to have?
Well, anybody that's getting in there, you got to have your own bags.
Okay.
You've got to, and so whether that's however many you want to do, one set, 10 sets, whatever, however that works. You know, some Always. People have individual bags with trades. I mean,
those guys are
all
really
sorts
good.
Of crazy stuff. Yeah, they think they do. Anyway, so on in set of bags, I would say in very generality, they got to have their own combo set. I don't care what brand it is. If it's a brand that, you know, the job trailer has a lot of batteries of, then more power to you. You don't have to buy less. So if you want to do it that way. But that's going to be, you know, a circ saw, you know, the jiggly saw. That's the fine tool.
Oscillating multi-tool is what we call
jiggly
that.
Saw.
OMT.
And then, you know, a flashlight, sawzall, whatever comes out. But those are the biggest, you know, impact, something that, and something with a hammer drill, I would say. Those are the biggest things.
Okay.
So would you say you need more? Because we provide a ton of tools. So mm-hmm. if someone shows up with those things and then the things that make that kind of personalized for them, I think one of the things also too, I can get there when I get the bags, I guess. But So everybody's going to add, tweak that a little bit for themselves, but at a minimum, those are what come out of the truck every single day, right away.
I agree. I like where you're starting at. I will tell you, I have a soft spot for new hires, people just getting into the trades, because the way that I got in, I started with very, very little. I still remember sitting in, I think it was a Black Eyed Pea restaurant, where I met Al Folsmeyer for lunch.
Dude, I worked there in high school.
Did you really?
Like,
I wonder if you're
3 days.
you couldn't last 3 days in a restaurant?
No, they wanted me to, my mom made me quit. They wanted me to work on school nights in high school. It's like 10 or 11 at night, you know, when they close. And she was like, nope, that ain't working.
Well, that's that.
I started working there because I could walk there. It was close.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay, that story's over. Go ahead.
So now that we're back, I will tell you, I sat in a booth in a restaurant with the first construction professional to ever hire me. And he asked me what tools I already had as he was interviewing me to decide if he was going to bring me on. And I said, well, I don't have much. I have some stuff that my dad gave me. I mean, I got a tape measure and a square. Got a really basic Ryobi kit back in the day because I was working at the Home Depot part-time. So, of course, I would have Ryobi.
I didn't know that. Really?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Store 2202.
Okay.
Started in the yard pushing carts and then graduated to running hardware. Anyway, the point is that I told him I had this list of things and he said very much what you said. Like, well, we're a construction company, so we have all the tools that you need for bigger things. I just want to know what you're going to be prepared with when you arrive. And so I listed off these things. And at the time I had, I think it was a McGuire Nichols, pouch, but I didn't even have a set of bags. I just had a little pouch. Like you could clip a nail pouch to you, or you could put your tape in there. It was one or the other. You could either have fasteners or you could have a tape. But I think I had a real basic knife, probably an Irwin retractable utility knife, a tape, a square, a pencil, and that Ryobi kit. And that's what I had. It wasn't much.
I feel like it was associated, like the tools I had was associated to the dollar amount I was going to start at a couple of companies.
Oh,
I felt like I've heard of that. Thinking about it, like when I interview you and you've got all these things and you've got the whole setup and I'm like, man, I could send him to his own job and I don't have to worry about buying a whole whatever. It's going to be different than the guy that has the pouch and that gets fasteners or this. Maybe 100%. I feel like there was some money associated with that back in the day.
Yeah.
But also when I started and for quite some time, you brought all your own stuff. There was no company miter saw. There was no
That's a construction professional.
Yeah, well, but there was...
You're already
also
in the trades.
The cost to incur was a quarter of what it is now, you know, or something. But and I also bought a lot of really crappy stuff to start.
That's what I'm saying. I started with really crummy stuff.
Yeah, so but had a lot... I say crappy. Its shelf life was not very much. You had to treat it with care, otherwise it did not treat you with...
Limited durability.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
So when I did start... One of the first jobs that we did at Faltermeyer was build a deck. And it became very readily apparent that I was half useless, not because I didn't understand how to build a deck. I knew how to build a deck. What I didn't know was that you cannot be efficient on a deck crew if you don't have fasteners in hand and you don't have your square on your belt and you don't have your hammer and your screw gun right there, because that's what you need to build the deck. And I was constantly setting stuff off to the side, go over and pick it up. Set it down, go pick it up. Set it down, go pick it up. So on my first or second day on the crew, it was my second week, because the first week I stained the inside of a log cabin and burned my brain up on solvents. It's a different story, different previous episode. I think I told that story. If I didn't, we'll get back to
it.
You
did.
The second week we built this deck, and Bill gave me, you'll remember this, Payless Cashways used to give out a fabric apron, a nail apron. It was canvas. And it was lit, and you can still buy them. They still make them. I think Bucket Boss has like a fancy one. Yeah, it tied with a string. Yes.
Yeah.
And Bill was like, you're killing me. Put this on. And he put screws in one side of the pouch and he said, put your tape and your pencil in the other. I'll let you go pick up the saw, but you're not walking over to go get screws again. Wear it.
Yeah.
And the next day I showed up with a real tool belt. But that first day it was almost like the pouch of shame. Like you have to wear this apron. You got to wear this apron because you're not ready. And so you said you would expect a new hire to have their bags.
Well, if they don't.
And all the things that go in them. But I'm telling you, we hired someone a few weeks ago and asked them this question, like, hey, you told me about your experience doing this and doing that and doing that. What tools do you have? And they mentioned a few things, but I didn't ask specifically enough. I was too broad in my inquiry.
We have a list.
You have a list?
We just hand it to them and say, these, as if where you're saying you are, this is what you are bringing. If you need help purchasing those, we will help you purchase those.
Yes.
And then, because one, yes, cost to incur is a lot more now. Mm-hmm. Two, we've talked about time and time again, let's buy good stuff, because that good stuff, you may still have it in 20 years.
Yep.
You know, idea. I don't think that, I think impacts and things like that, that's all going to get just worn out. But, excuse me, like a set of bags or something like that, and the things that I didn't know then that I know now, I would like them to start there. And as things go on, they're not, we don't need them to suffer in order to get where we're at or get closer anyway.
Totally agree.
But so we'll just help them with taking, you know, whatever that, whatever is the threshold is okay to out of their check every week.
That's exactly what we do. Yeah. We're in consensus. This is perfect. I specifically told this guy on his fourth or fifth day. Other guys were getting frustrated. He was borrowing their tools.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to
every time you look down,
nip this in the butt.
5 feet away from where you put it.
Yeah. Exactly. You're like, why is my drill not here?
Yeah.
Where, and I don't like loaning my stuff. I actually, Joe and I just got into this conversation the other day. We both have created lists in our phone, and it's the library, you know, the old card in the back of the library book with all the names. It's that, but it's for all the books. It's, I have a list of what tools I've loaned out, where they are, who has them.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my new rules is, when I loan you a tool, it's your job to get it back to me, not the other way around. I loaned it to you for the day. If you think you need it tomorrow, you need to call me and ask me, can I keep your 15 gauge finish nailer until tomorrow? I'd like to use it tomorrow, please. Okay.
So you guys have it, excuse me, to where everybody brings their own stuff?
Everybody's supposed to bring their own.
So if they're doing trim work, they're bringing their own trim guns, compressor, cordless, not cordless, all that stuff, you're saying?
This is great.
Brandon just brought me back on topic. Brandon just brought me
once a decade
back on topic.
I didn't even mean to. I didn't realize I was doing it.
You just did it. So,
but I'm just trying to get to where, because that's different than us.
So
if you're saying everybody's got to bring all their own stuff?
No. Let me be clear. Two separate issues. I'm referencing my trim nailer because it gets loaned out a lot.
Okay.
We don't expect our guys to have their own trim nailer. That's why mine gets loaned out so much. What we have for the company for use is a roll air bowl and hoses. And when we do trim in-house, we set up a compressor and we set up hoses. However, most of our more seasoned guys run cordless nailers like we do, like Joe and I do. And so they're running their own trim guns often if they've been there a long time. I would never expect my new crew to have a miter saw and a table saw and a compressor and a nail gun. I wouldn't expect that. They're new to the trades. Those are big dollar items. What I don't like is the idea that someone would roll in and just be, I'm just hands. Well, just hands ain't enough. Just hands, to me, you're not ready.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a pencil. Hell, you should have pencil and paper at a minimum, or at least your phone. But if you're going to mark a board, you need a pencil and you need a tape. That's minimum, way minimum. I wanted our crew member to have a basic kit. And I started building that out in my mind. And again, we've talked about this. I've been fortunate. I am grateful for all the opportunities that I've had. I have ended up with some extra things. I used to run a ton of side work. And so I accumulated 3 to 4 different sets of tools so that I could eliminate the packing in and packing out every night.
Yep.
Cause I'd be running 2 different jobs plus my day job. I would go over and at this basement finish, I don't want to have to bring in all the tools. I'd leave a stepladder there. I'd put my bags on it. I'd have a set of bags loaded. And I would maybe have to bring in a circ saw or an impact. A
lot less, yeah.
And then I would do that on 2 other jobs. And so I've ended up with some duplicate tools, which helped when we started a company, having those extra things, because then it doesn't cripple me. I can loan out. And actually, you know, I've been driving to that job up in Platte City for a long time. Oh. I kept my wife's old car. I kind of bought it from her because the dealership wasn't going to give it much anyway. And I was like, I'm keeping miles off the truck, but I don't want to move tools from truck to truck. So in the back of the Jeep, I've got kind of my old M18 setup, single box, fasteners, couple pack out things, small, easy, but I don't have all my big stuff. I don't have any of the stuff I keep in my truck. But that duplication allowed me to say, hey, new guy, here's my circular saw so that you can get this task done. Here's my sawzall. Here's my impact and my drill, because he didn't have one yet. And I thought, just like your company, hey, these tools are expensive. I get it. Let's find a way to help each other. You want to have tools so that you can be independent. I want you to have tools so you can be efficient and do a good job. I bought my tools. You're going to buy your tools. They're going to go with you everywhere you go. They're yours when you leave. So you can pay for those tools. We can do a $5 payroll deduct every week. It can take you 2 years. We can do 10. We can do 20. We can do whatever you want. But we'll buy them today so that you can start working now. And then you can pay us back. Now, if you quit tomorrow, I'm screwed.
Yeah, because you've got the tools. I pull more money than that. I don't let them roll it out that far.
Okay.
Just for the, I mean, maybe if they're going to quit or otherwise, we're always going to have that last paycheck though. Like if they have a last paycheck, that whatever's remaining there. But at the same time, I think it's more accountability. It's like, okay, if it wasn't $5 a week, but I owe $40 a week, one, it's paid off quicker. Two, they're like, they're not showing up buying a whole bunch of other stuff just because they finance that part out. I'm not a bank. We are fortunate to be able to offer that $500, $600, $700 or whatever it is. But it's a dollar amount that you know it's there, but it's not making so you can't make rent. That kind of thing is the way I look at it.
That's perfect.
So I think it's not a drawn out deal, because 2 years is too long of a game, I think, there on something like that. So, yeah, we definitely do a shorter timeline there on that.
And to be fair, I just threw that out there. I think we've always said, how long would it take you to pay this back, and let them set the term, and it's never been anywhere near.
Yeah, I'm not digging in their finances or something, and I'm also not trying to strap them. But
sure,
I've got a lot of stuff sitting around, and it's cycled enough. It's not all old technology at this point, but definitely have loaned that stuff out to new guys, things like that. I'm like, they keep it, but just even Sam in our Columbia office just handed me, from teaching a couple times, we've got some stuff from vendors, and I gave them some Metabo stuff, like, an Impact and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I didn't really like how it worked. I found what I like. And he bought his own set when he got there. So that one just went back in the box, and it does us no good if it's just sitting in the in the shop and no one's using it. So,
and that's something I would really strongly encourage folks that are running crews, or even just if you're a person who's been in the trades a long time. It's fun to get new stuff. I like getting new tools, and we all want the newest, coolest stuff. And there's no market for, what's someone going to give you for your previous tape? Nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to throw that tape in a drawer. It's going to sit on your workbench or whatever.
Or battery technology changes or something. You get a lot of boat anchor stuff like that. But
don't hang on to your stuff. If you've got someone that you see that has come to the crew and they are enthusiastic, help them out and give them the stuff that you're not using anyway. I had a really fun time, to be honest, going through my basement shop, and I took my old Milwaukee backpack. For a while, I worked out of a backpack because at the time I was doing mostly electrical work. Backpack is great for electrical. You're going in and out of the attic. You're walking in and out of the job. It's nice to be able to have your hands free to carry spools. I don't want a tool bag. I want a backpack because I need my hands free, because I'm carrying 3 boxes of fixtures and all that stuff. So it's less trips. Backpack's great for that. Not as good for trim carpentry. It's tough. You really need pack outs and bigger stuff, and you can roll it in. But I had a backpack. I actually gave my first set of bags. Where I was going with this, I had a ton of fun digging around in my basement shop and putting together a kit out of stuff that I really wasn't using. Yeah. And being thoughtful about, well, what does he really need? I noticed the other day he doesn't have a set of lineman's pliers. I don't know how I get through the day without touching my lineman's 2 or 3 times. Let's find him a set of lineman's. Well, that's a one tool I don't have 6 of. It blew my mind, but I had plenty of tape measures. I had plenty of knives. I had plenty of, obviously, pencils, Rockwell knife,
right.
All the things that you can easily part with and then put it in a receptacle like that backpack. But you mentioned that you want to make sure that your new hire has a set of bags, and he didn't have one. And I was thrilled, because Brandon gives me so much hell about having bags for all these trades. I have to admit, it had gotten a little silly. I had my oldest set of nice bags with suspenders that I had dedicated to demo and framing. Now, I probably don't do more than 30 days of framing a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a set of bags just for framing. Finally. My Badger bags are great. They're set up, my universal Badger set. And I now have a set. Anyway. I gave them that first set of bags.
They've been repurposed. The stuff's been put back in place. The stuff is, there's no point in it gathering dust unless there's just a sentimental attachment to the bags that your dad had or something. You know, sure. I don't know. But yeah, just get it back out there. Isaac's awesome about that too. He's more than okay. And Isaac and I donate stuff to jobs all the time.
Doesn't it feel good? It's super fun, right?
Well, you just got to keep track of it, but we'll put stuff in a job container to use that, you know, a particular type of gun, because we're asking them to install a particular type of something that requires a nail that's a one-off or something, you know, whatever it is. Like, we'll donate those things, put them in the job box, sure. They go back to the house, but at least they're getting used. All the stuff that sits either rots or goes out of, yeah, put it in play. Let it get out there. Let it play and let it do what it's supposed to do.
So I want to get into what the company provides, but before we do, can we just settle on some essentials? Because I said, you got to roll out with a tape. You got to roll out with a pencil. I think you need a square. I think you need a knife. I think you need a hammer. I think you need an impact. But I would say I'm okay. Like I said, we just hired a couple guys and they did not start with circular saws, Sawzall, and hammer drill.
We have that list and we go through it. And that's kind of, it would basically be like the short list of like what's in your bags, what would get you through the day. So yeah, you're going to have the impact. Something that is a hammer drill, it doesn't have to be a big one, but something you can put a Tapcon in with or something like that, or drill screws, you know, whatever it is. Sawzall, we provide all the things that bolt onto these things. So the blades, the bits, all that stuff.
We call those consumables, and we provide those as well.
Yeah, yeah. So some kind of flashlight, everybody's already got one probably anyway.
Their phone?
Circular saw, yeah, but, you know, yes, if you want to use your phone for that. Some kind of construction calculator. You know, just so you can do the things, not just the simple math. I'm asking more guys to do that because you can't teach them on mine. And, you know, like they need to be able to figure out the rise, the run, the angle, the pitch, the whatever. So the more they do that. So I think a construction, but that's just an app on your phone again. You can get, it doesn't have to be a separate thing. And if it's something that has to be bought, then I think we would buy that.
Of course.
But so square, pencil, a pair of, I don't know if you're lineman pliers, I would call them dykes, like something you would cut nails off with or cut things like that with.
Diagonal cutters are different than linemans.
Okay, diagonal cutters, whichever you want to call them. And then you're going to have, what else in those bags? A small kind of level of some sort, preferably magnetic.
Torpedo level. Something of some sort. Setting pitch on a pipe.
Trying to think, I haven't looked at that list in a minute, but what else in my bag? Obviously a hammer of choice. We promote a little bit better than just a lead piece of a lead block that is harder on the body than not.
Right.
But hammer, that stuff's easy to come by.
Flat bar.
Yep. Flat bar, prior bar, cat's paw. I would say that would probably get you pretty stinking close.
I agree.
A Sharpies of some sort, but that's consumable we provide, but you need to have it on you at all times.
And what about PPE? Because I think the company should provide, safety glasses and ear protection.
Yeah, that stuff we provide because that is something we are putting you in the circumstance that you need that.
Agree.
And you need eyes, ears,
mask
all times.
That's great. That's consensus there. So now that we've agreed that those are things that these people, they should have coming into it as an experienced tradesperson, they will have more, as you pointed out, and that might elevate their value to the company. That might get them more dollars.
Yep.
But again, we just hired a couple people that didn't even have bags. And
I don't even look at it that right anymore if they have the tools or not, since we provide everything else.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you provide and then we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because the way that I look at it, it becomes a very short list if you just say in generality, if it has a specific purpose, if it does one task and it does it well and it's big and heavy, you don't need to think about it. We've got it. So we already talked about the compressor. We talked about nail guns and hoses. A lot of guys run cordless now. That's fine. You don't have to. We will provide a way for you to do that task. If I want you to nail casing, I'll provide the compressor. I'll provide the guns. I'll provide the nails and the hoses. And I'll provide the clamps. I don't expect my guys to all have bar clamps. I don't expect them to have quick clamps. All those things I think are specialty tools for trim. So we would provide miter saw, table saw, biscuit joiner, pocket hole jig. If we're doing trim, we've got all the tools that you need so long as you have those basic bags. And we do the same thing across every trade. Yeah. If Joe's plumbing, we've got a PEX tool. We've got a ProPress. You can use those tools on our jobs. You cannot take those tools home, and you cannot run side work on those tools. But we will make sure that you have the tools that you need to cut the pipe, to make the joint not leak, because that's our job to provide those things for you. Similarly, I'm never going to ask my guys, where's your bandsaw at? I've got the bandsaw. You can use the bandsaw. That's what we're going to need to cut the Unistrut. I don't expect you to have your own. However, Quentin, James, guys have been with us a long time. They're like, oh,
guys,
man,
are
I use
buy
the bandsaw
stuff, man,
so that I can do closet pulls. I want that mini portaband so I can do closet pulls quick and clean. Of course, they will grow into that, but the company will provide if it's a specific task that needs to be done.
I think that's, yeah, that's very agreeable because they, like, trim was the last one we ran into, and I got there, and I was like, there's three of you cutting trim in different rooms, and you have two saws set up. I was like, one of you needs to bring your own saw tomorrow. Like, we already have two in the trailer. We've provided that, two stands, all the setups. And the guy's like, oh, I got one at home. I was like, well, three guys are cutting three things. You're standing in line to cut something. Knock it off.
Yeah.
So if there's a circumstance where we need a ton more, then fine. But I would say you're right. If it's specialty or it's something like that, we even provide like the basics, like you said, saws, stands, all those things. We have all that stuff. And I know that I check it pretty often to make sure it's in good working order, things like that. So that one's a pretty easy package to ball up there. Just we'll provide everything else that is not your bolt-ons.
The only other two items that we didn't really get into, and I think they're worth mentioning, shop vac and a broom and dustpan.
We have one on every job, and it's all company, and it does not run without a bag. No, I'm just saying, we've even asked every single one of our subs, we've even put notes on the shop vacs. It's like, use our shop vac if you don't have a bag. One, we don't even buy a filter a year with a bag in the shop vac. Now, they are like $20 for two or three, but there's never that turnaround, and there's just dust blowing out the back of that shop vac.
Yep.
So I'm 100% okay with it. Our drywaller even cleans up after they use a system, but even at the end, they vacuum with a shop vac. They vacuum all their dust, everything else. There's never any other mess. As long as you put it in correctly, you don't tear it putting it on, and you clip it down. Shop vac is, yeah. And broom and dustpans are on every job. Trash can on wheels.
I want them in every truck.
Every
person goes with a broom and dustpan, and I will buy you the broom and dustpan, but you better have it on every job. And if I walk in and it's dirty and I don't see your broom and dustpan, you're like, oh, it's in my garage. Now we got a problem.
Yeah, that's why they're on every job. That's why they stay on every job. And then the tool trailer, which goes pretty much almost every job every day because it gets hauled every day. It's not a stay put unless it's we know we're going to be there a month.
Sure.
It has that stuff in it. So, yeah.
I think we were probably not too far off consensus when we started. This is not going to be a lot of arguing. I'm glad that we have similar paths because your crew is very successful and ours is too. So it makes sense that we would have that in mind. But if you're new to the trades and you're not sure what you should provide, this should give you a starting point. If you are starting to hire people, this should give you a starting point. And if you have a better idea and you think Brandon and I are both doofuses, correct, but please tell us how to fix our ways. Don't just sit back and laugh at us.
Right.
That's all I ask from you this week on the Building Consensus podcast. You got anything else?
I would say don't feel like you have to hurry and buy all the stuff. Use the stuff around the job and find out what you like, what you don't like, because there's going to be there's so many options now. Don't hurry up and spend your money, because when you spend $500 for something, when you take it to the pawn shop because you hate it, you're getting $100.
Oh.
That kind of thing. So if the other guys got varieties there, kind of figure out what you like. You test drive something. Of course, we buy cars and we test drive them for like 8 minutes, but you can read reviews per se. I would say create your own reviews. Don't hurry and spend money. Every time I show up, I got this one guy that's on mind and he's always got new stuff. I'm like, why that so far? He's like, I just won my own. I wanted this. And I was like, yeah, but that one really, it's good, bad, and different. So don't feel like you rush into it. Get what you need and buy good product, but don't waste your money as quick.
Good enough for me.
Okay.
Come find us at Build Show Live in October. Come find us at the Building Science Symposium in Kansas City in September, or Philly or Cincy. You can check all that stuff out, buildingsciencesymposium.com or buildshowlive.com for Build Show Live. Or if you want a free ticket, Brandon will pack you into his suitcase and will unzip you for the big reveal in Dallas. That's all I got.
Appreciate it. See you next time. Thank you.